Wow, what a blessing to be part of this service today for you as a congregation, for me as a guest preacher as well. Great to see how God is working among your youth here, and glad to be here with you. And again, I say this often when I go to places because, oftentimes worship teams are planning the music or whatever, and I'm planning what I'm going to preach on, and they somehow coincide. And as I was thinking about Ascension for this Sunday and discussed a little with Pastor Brian, was he going to focus on it? Because otherwise, I could focus on it this Sunday, because Ascension Day, if you didn't know that, was this past Thursday. And next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. But I think you'll see as I bring the message today how this really ties in with this service. So it's truly a blessing to be here. For those who may not know me, I'm coming from Des Moines. I'm a member at Crossroads Fellowship Christian Reformed Church. But I serve as the chaplain at Methodist West Hospital. I've been there just over 6.5 years. Prior to that, I was a hospice chaplain in the Des Moines area as well. So coming this August, my wife and I have been here in the area 17 years. So it's really hard to believe that much time has passed. I pastored in Christian Reformed churches prior to that for a 20-year span. Been around the U.S. a little bit with that, but good to be here with you and share with you. So we're going to look at two texts this morning in relation to the Ascension. The first is Jesus' ascension in using Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. And let's just take a moment in prayer as we go to God's word and hear his message this morning. Lord God, we ask this morning as we turn to your word that you will open our hearts and minds. We ask you to help us hear what you have to say to us. Instruct us by your word and guide us in our life with you, that abundant life, that you will teach us and lead us into that abundant life as we seek to live, believe in you, and serve you throughout our lives. So bless this word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 24, beginning at verse 44 to the end. So he, that is Jesus, said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And then to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 through 18. More of the focus is on 6 through 14 there. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on a mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha said, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" Well, certainly as we consider these two accounts, ascending accounts, we find in Scripture, we certainly recognize that these are miracles of God. These are unusual circumstances. These are ways that God has intervened. Some might look at these stories who aren't believers in the Lord and say, well, they're just some magic trick. It's not something we typically will witness or see. A person just ascending into the heavens. We certainly see spacecrafts ascend into the skies, airplanes with people in them ascend into the skies, hot balloons taking people up, but never a person on a cloud or in a chariot of fire and fiery horses. We understand it's a miracle of God. But these miracles aren't just to leave us standing in awe and thinking about it in awe, but they mean something. They mean something for us as God's people. It was not so much a cosmological event going on in these two circumstances, but it was a commissioning event, and for Jesus, a coronation event. He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father and to reign with all power and glory. And so the mission that Jesus had, including the power with which he did it, was now being transferred to his disciples. Obviously, there's a close tie-in between the ascension and the Holy Spirit. In the ascending, Jesus makes a promise of the Spirit coming. But as we consider Jesus' ascension, it's not so much that Jesus is giving us something, which he does, something very powerful. But the ascension also means that Jesus is now asking much of us, given that gift. Well, let's begin by looking at this other ascension that we read about concerning Elijah. And just a little backstory to Elijah. Elijah lived 880 years before Jesus, when Ahab was king. Ahab had a Phoenician wife. Her name was Jezebel. Maybe you're recalling some of the story of Elijah and Jezebel. As I say her name, she was not a nice lady. She, from her home country of Phoenicia, she brought the priests of Baal into Israel. And she sought to make the worship of the idol Baal the religion of Israel. And so Yahweh, the God of Israel, said to Elijah, his prophet, go and speak against the queen and her political agenda for this country. And so Elijah went. And then he called the priests of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel. You remember that story, to demonstrate who was more powerful, Baal or Yahweh, the God of Israel. And we know Elijah won, or rather, I should say, God won, burning up the altar, the Baal prophets of Baal. And Jezebel got angry and told Elijah she was going to get him. She was going to kill him. So Elijah went out into the desert, and not only into the desert, but into depression. He was scared for his life. He wondered what God was doing. He was asking why bad things happen to good people. And so he hid in a cave, and there God found him and told him in a still small voice to come out, because I have three things for you to do, Elijah. And the third thing that God said was that Elijah had to pick his successor. And that brings us to this text of this morning. Elisha has been chosen as Elijah's successor. Elijah had been mentoring and instructing Elisha along the way. There was a great connection between the two of them, and so that's why we read that he would not leave Elijah's side. He stayed with him. And we don't know exactly what Elijah was doing, going to these different places. Whether he was performing miracles or just prophesying and preaching to the people. But it was known that Elijah was going to be leaving this life. It was sort of a farewell tour, you might say, for Elijah. He was showing his powers, the power of God in him, which evidently related to this mantle he wore and kept with him. And Elijah rolled it up, as we read, like a wand, and waved it over things, did fantastic miracles, and we read about him striking the Jordan River, waving over the Jordan River, and it parted. Parting the waters, they went across, and Elisha said to Elijah, let me inherit your spirit so that I can do what you have done. Elijah said, ask anything. He could have asked for so many different things, but he asked for God's spirit. And then a chariot of fire pulled up with fiery horses, and a whirlwind took them up. Took Elijah and the chariot and horses up. Elijah got in, closed the door, and up they went. And as he was taken up, the mantle fell off his shoulder to the ground in front of Elisha, and Elisha picked it up and rolled it into wand and parted the water of Jordan and walked back across to demonstrate that Elisha not only has the mission of Elijah, but also has Elijah's power. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We'll get to Jesus' ascension in a moment. But Elisha ascended and something descended. It was a demonstration, a symbol of the Holy Spirit that was being transferred from Elijah to Elisha. It's called taking up the mantle. You probably have heard that phrase before. I just generally looked it up, you know, on the internet, what kind of definition was put to it. And you hear it in different contexts, but the passing of the mantle is just a transferring of responsibility. It might be the founder of a company or CEO, and that person is going to retire, and so they train somebody else and are passing the mantle, the responsibility, the authority over to somebody else. It's usually in the context also of trying to make society a little better. You pass the mantle to carry on a particular great work or influence from generation to generation. It's the things that we do and value as believers. The amazing thing about taking up a mantle is that when you do, you discover you also have a power inside you that you never knew you had. You did not have that power until you really took up the mantle. You did not have that power until you really surrendered yourself to the Lord and to His Holy Spirit and put into action the gifts that He has given you. So think about it in our day. For the mantle has been passed from Jesus' day to His disciples, to us, to the next generation, and so on and so forth. Can you think of ways that you are passing the mantle? The obvious tie-in I was referring to earlier is with this Youth Sunday and the way you as a congregation are praying for and seeking to bless the lives of your youth and the youth leaders that you have. They're passing the mantle. Their teaching through their words and actions and demonstration of the Christian life. It's the passing of the mantle. Or those who are teaching students in Sunday school or catechism. You are passing the mantle. So I want you to see that as this important responsibility, but also the power that comes with it. As you depend on the Holy Spirit. It's the role that parents have to their children, passing along the faith to the next generation. Again, teaching and demonstrating. Living the life, living for Jesus before your children, before your students. It happened in so many contexts. Coaches to their team members. Not just about passing facts, but you're passing along the love for the Lord, a desire to serve. Teaching about the power that comes with it and who we truly depend on is the Lord and the Holy Spirit within us. I imagine that each of you can recall instances when some, in our human judgment perhaps, some unlikely person was given a title or a responsibility, and you thought, they're never going to make it. They're never going to measure up to that task or to what that former leader did. The person coming in would never do as well as the person they succeeded. The distance between the two was so great. But then, lo and behold, they did well, sometimes they even exceeded the accomplishments of that person that was before them. And all because a mantle had fallen on their shoulders, a power had been conferred upon them. I remember when I was serving in churches and we come to the time of nominating elders and deacons, for instance. And I have to confess, even sometimes when we nominated certain people for those roles, I kind of, I'm not sure, but you know, it's a group think tank and seeking the Lord's guidance, and then that person those couple individuals ever are chosen. And the Lord surprised me. Because as they took up that responsibility and as they took up the power of the Holy Spirit that came with it, they did amazingly in that role, beyond my expectation and imagination, much to my shame, of course, not trusting the Lord. So that's another example, too, even with his own congregation here, as you think about elders and deacons, and maybe new ones come in, you have opportunity to mentor them into that role. You bring them into that role. It's a passing of the mantle from one group to the next. So we have the story of the ascension in 2 Kings, in Luke, in Jesus' ascension. You notice it does sound much like Elijah being lifted up into heaven and Jesus being lifted up into heaven. It's an interesting correlation. It's a foreshadowing thing that happened to Elijah, foreshadowing what Jesus would do, what would happen. And Luke wants us to see that being a Christian means that you are to take up a mantle. So finally, we consider then how we are carrying on the work of Christ, how we are called to that. For even as Jesus ascended into heaven, before he ascended, he said to his disciples, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So as Jesus was going to ascend, there was going to be a descent on the day of Pentecost of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be clothed like a mantle. So Jesus' work, when you think about the book of Acts, when you can think about the continued work of the Holy Spirit, is a continuation of Jesus' promise at the ascension. The Spirit of Jesus came upon the disciples like a mantle and empowered them now to be apostles. So Elijah, like I said, is a foreshadowing of Jesus and what he came to do and did do and continues to do in and through us. We are to take up the mantle, take up where Jesus left off. And when you read the story of Acts, for instance, you see that the disciples did exactly what Jesus did in so many ways. They preached the kingdom of God. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. They converted the nations. They formed a new community of humanity called the church. They even got into the same trouble that Jesus got into with the same people. They had many of the same trials Jesus had. And one apostle, namely Peter, died the same death that Jesus died, tortured on a cross. How will we carry on the work of Christ? It takes all of us. It takes many different avenues, ministries. God uses our gifts and empowers us. But we are to carry on in bringing the gospel, of course. Every Christian to reach people for Christ. We are those who are to live godly lives and challenge the culture around us. We are to demonstrate God's grace, the fullness of that grace to those around us, to live out of that grace. We are to be those who are loving people, who will love people into heaven, so to speak, by our kindness. Some will go to remote tribes in other countries, remote places, and serve. Others will be right here in their home place and serve and make a difference. Now, what about you? What's your task? What's the mantle you are to take up? Perhaps you've been thinking about something. God has been prodding you on a certain way of service, a certain calling He's putting on your life. Is it time to take up that mantle? Trusting the power of the Holy Spirit within you, for as you take it up and you say, yes, the power is there. But we need those today who will take up that responsibility for God's mission and purposes, whatever form that takes for any particular one of us. Something in the church, something in the community, something across the world, perhaps. What are you taking up, or is God calling you to take up? See how important your role is as those who are mentoring, teaching, being an example to. What an important role that is of passing the mantle. Luke was trying to make this point that when you take up a mantle, you can do extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Things that you never thought you would ever do. Things you never thought you could do. As we read in John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Meaning, the Holy Spirit is coming. Our power. Jesus is gone physically from walking this earth. But as the Apostles' Creed puts it, he is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, reigning in power, interceding for us, guiding, directing, leading us. His Spirit is here like a mantle, waiting for you and I to take it up. Amen. Pray together. Lord God, take this word, inspire us and empower us, lead us into those ways of service that you are calling us to, or those ways of serving that we are currently in, Lord, but give us a renewed power and strength to carry on that task and keep looking to you. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, for the way of salvation, as we see how in your word, you had a great plan and a great calling for us. So we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.